Revelation chapter 1. And we begin our reading at verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we can expectantly look for thy beloved Son to return, to take his waiting people home, and to rule and to reign with a rod of iron. We thank you that this is no figure of the imagination, but you revealed your power and glory to your disciples, and Peter never forgot it. Graciously, our Father, we ask you to reveal yourself to us in the solemnity of this hour concerning the fact that he who shall come and will not tarry. And in a special way, we want to pray for this little girl this morning who fell out the window. We ask you, O God, to through this speak to the family. And we pray for the mother in a very definite way. You're the one who is able to draw. You can draw to yourself. In fact, unless you draw, no one is saved. For no one, the Lord Jesus said, can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. And you draw in various occasions. Aware various ways and under various circumstances. And we pray, O God, that we may be awake to the activity of the Spirit of God as he draws to thyself. Now we just commit to thee this morning the ministry of your word. Give us something from yourself. Do not disappoint your people. May they be fed with the good things from thy throne. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The expression in verse 7, where we read, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. This expression is almost the same as our Lord used in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 6 in the parable of the virgins, where he said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. The coming of the Lord, friends, is as sure as this morning's sunrise. And just as he was expected and he came in his first advent, he is coming again in his second advent. When our Lord ascended to heaven, the record of this is in Acts chapter 1, Verse 11, we read, and behold, there stood by them two men in white apparel, which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. And just as our Lord returned to heaven from the Mount of Olives, Zechariah chapter 14 tells us he's going to return to the Mount of Olives when he comes again in power and great glory. So just as Jesus returned to heaven after his work was finished in his first advent, he is going to return to earth in power and great glory. Now our text in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 there are three very important things in it. First of all, there is a word of attention. It is the word, behold. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Then we have the wonder of apprehension. Every eye shall see him. That's an interesting expression. And then finally, we have the wail of anguish. All kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Here are three serious statements concerning the coming of the Lord. First of all, the word of attention. This scene which John depicts here in Revelation 1 and 7 has no parallel. It is a scene which depicts the King of Kings in all his glory. And it is the Lord who now demands the attention of all the sons of men. And the attention of the Son of God, the attention of the sons of men, will be riveted in that day upon the Son of Man, the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, as he returns in power and great glory. Now this word, behold, is an attention getter. Throughout the Word of God, God says, behold, 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 and he says it here. Now, it reveals to us many things, this word, behold. The first thing it reveals to us in our text is that his coming is to be vividly realized. When he was here the first time, he had a forerunner, John the Baptist. John the Baptist cried, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Here John the Baptist drew attention to him and the purpose for which he came. He came to deal with sin. He is the one who taketh away the sin of the world. In his first advent, the Apostle John, when he wrote his gospel account in verse 14, he said, we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Son, of the Father, full of grace and truth. But now, can you imagine the scene? That last trumpet has sounded. And here is a visible appearance of the Son of Man returning to earth in power and great glory. You have the scene depicted in Revelation 19, where John says, I saw the heavens open and a white horse. And he that sat upon the horse is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. And those armies which are in heaven that follow him are the saints of this church age who are going to be with him then in the glory. Oh, can you imagine the scene? Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. What a picture we have. But the second thing that word behold tells us is this. The coming of the Lord is to be zealously proclaimed. That word, behold, it reminds us that his coming and the truth of his coming is no ordinary message. It is a message of great import. The coming of the Lord. He's coming again. Now at the Lord's Supper, we proclaim his first advent. We look to the cross. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? But even though we look back to his first advent, we also look in prospect to his coming again, his second advent. For the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, I think it's verse 26, for as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show forth his death till he come. This is no ordinary message. And this word is to be unquestionably asserted. We must proclaim this truth. For this is the theme of the prophets. When you read through the Old Testament prophets, there is so much concerning the coming of the Lord. He's coming in power and great glory to manifest his kingship, to reign in righteousness, to judge the nations, and to proclaim liberty to the captives. This is a theme of the prophets, but more than that, this is the very message of the promises of God. All the promises of God find their culmination and consummation in the return of our blessed Lord. You don't have a completion of the Word of God until you have the coming of the Lord. It's the message of all these promises. More than that, it is the expectation of all creation. Romans chapter 8, in that very happy portion of Romans 8, it tells us that the very creatures of earth are waiting for the coming of the Lord when the sons of God are going to be manifested with him. Creation is in bondage. When Adam sinned, not only did he throw the whole of the human family into depravity and sin, but he also messed up the creative order. The creatures became subject to vanity. And therefore we see ferociousness among the animals of earth. But the animals of earth, according to Isaiah chapter 11, are going to be tamed. The wolf and the lamb are going to lie down together. They're not going to hurt nor destroy upon his holy mountain. You see, this is the expectation of creation. The coming of the Lord. Poisonous snakes will not need to be avoided in that day. A child will be able to play with a rattlesnake and not be hurt. Oh, what a day this is going to be. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And by the way, this is a culmination of the cry of the church. For in the last promise of the Bible is, behold, I come quickly. And we have the prayer of the church, even so come, Lord Jesus. You realize what's entailed every time you're under a trial and you say, oh, if the Lord would just come and take me out of this mess. You know, Christians do this when they're under trial. Oh, if the Lord would just come and get me out of this. But you see what the coming of the Lord is going to do? It is going to usher in a day of judgment upon the ungodly. The coming of the Lord means that all kindreds are going to wail because of him. Now, since the Lord came here to die in his first advent, never, never doubt that he's not going to come to reign. He's coming, and his reign will be real. For the scripture says that he's going to be admired in that day among all them that believe. And we who are believers are going to reign with him, and he's going to be admired among us. There's something else this word behold tells us. It demands our immediate interest. He cometh. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And that word cometh means present tense. That word means present tense. That word could mean to us that he is already on the way. And the proof that he is already on the way is each night we're one day nearer the coming of the Lord. And all the events of history point to the coming again of our blessed Lord. I mentioned this to the adult Sunday school class this morning as we were studying the table of the nations out of the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 10. And the table of the nations in Genesis chapter 10 is just as valid today as it was when it took place, when the nations were divided at the confusion of languages at the Tower of Babel. Never toy with the idea, friends, that the Lord delayeth his coming. He doesn't. The Word of God says, he shall come, and he will not tarry. And God has arranged for his coming just as soon as wisdom allows. our Lord is coming again. But more than that, according to this text, the coming of the Lord is going to occur with a particular sign. In Matthew chapter 24, we read that then shall they see the sign of the coming of the Son of Man in heaven. What is the sign? We have it right here. Behold, he cometh with clouds. There will be no question about it in that day as to who it is who is coming. It is none other than the Son of Man. The 104th Psalm in the 3rd verse says, he makes the clouds his chariot. And behold, he comes with clouds. The clouds of the heaven set forth the might and the majesty of our Lord in his coming. Behold, he cometh with clouds. You see, the clouds denote the terror of his coming to the ungodly. That which is going to be a blessing to the children of God is going to bring terror to the enemies of God. You see, when the Lord returns, the saints are going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds. If any of you ever were in an airplane and you flew above the clouds on a rainy day, when the clouds were heavy, my, what a beautiful picture it is up there. It's just like a white layer underneath that airplane. You think you could open the door and get out and walk. It's just so beautiful. And that which is going to be beautiful to the children of God is going to bring terror to those who know not God and obey not the gospel. But not only do we have this word, behold, but we have the wonder of apprehension. The scripture here says, every eye shall see him. In other words, this speaks of a literal coming again of the Lord. Now, the mind can behold that which is spiritual. God says, I will write my law in their minds and in their hearts. We assimilate spiritual truth. But the eye can only distinguish that which is material and that which is visible. You see, and when it says, every eye shall see him, we're talking about a literal, visible coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, his coming, as we read here in Revelation 1, is not a spiritual coming. For in that sense, the Lord is always here. Our Lord says to his own in Hebrews 13, he says, let your manner of life be without covetousness, for I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And this morning at the Lord's Supper, we read those great words from Isaiah 43, where God says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. I am with you. This is a promise of the Lord. And he spiritually is always with us. But here we're talking about the visible return of Christ to the earth. And he's coming bodily. This same Jesus who is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And our Lord is going to be seen by all kinds of living persons. Those who have been formerly blind, their eyes will be opened to behold him. Oh, what a comfort this is to those who now cannot see the light of day. There's a day coming when the eyes of the blind will be opened. But this isn't any pleasure at all for those whose eyes are full of filthiness and pride. And you and I are living in a day when the eyes of men are filled with filthiness and pride. They've shut their eyes to good things. But when he returns, they shall see him, whether they want to or not. A person in this day can close their mind to the things of God. They can say, I will not have this man to reign over me. I'm going to do my own thing. And whatever pleases me, I'm going to do. But when he returns, it's going to be just the opposite. They're going to be forced to see him whether they want to or not. Oh, you can shut him out of your life today. But when he returns, you'll not be able to do it. Every eye shall see him. But the saddest part here is, it says, and they also that pierced him. That company that nailed him to the cross. Oh my. The nation of Israel. Zechariah chapter 13 speaks of a group who's going to say to him in that day, where did you receive those hands in your, or those wounds in your hands and in your side? And he shall answer them, those wherewith I was wounded in the house of my friends. They also who pierced him. He is going to be seen in that day by those who profess to love him, but went back to the world. It was only a profession, but no reality. Going through the motions, but without a genuine heart love. Because your heart has been renewed by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a picture this is. They also that pierced him, they who rejected his great salvation, and those who neglected the great salvation that he provided by grace. Oh, the wonder of apprehension. They'll apprehend then. They'll understand, but it will be too late. He's come to judge. Today's the day of salvation, friend. Today's the day. But now, we have the third part. We have a wail of anguish. We read, all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. In other words, here is a general sorrow. It's not just going to be a few who are sorrowing. This means all sorts of people that belong to the earth. That word, kindreds of the earth, it means they're earthbound. They're living for time and not living for eternity. And that's the thought in the passage. Living for time, but not living for eternity. No genuine reality. Now the sorrow is going to be exceeding great in that day. That's the meaning of that word, wail. All kindreds of the earth shall wail. And that word wail conveys its own meaning. It is like the wail of a mother who has just lost a baby. When I think of that little child that we're praying for, I can imagine what the mother felt like when she picked up that child after it fell over 9 feet and landed on its head. But here's a time when all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. It is like the man who finds himself hopelessly imprisoned without any hope of ever getting out. The wail of mankind if Christ were to come today. In the next 5 minutes, would your voice be one of wailing? Or would your voice be one of praise God? Welcome. I'm so glad you came. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Where do you stand? You see, this is the issue of this verse. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him. They also who pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. If you're one of the kindreds of the earth, friends, you're living for this life. And if you remain impenitent, just remain as you are. Listen to the gospel, but don't do anything about it. You see, the gospel is that message that you cannot evade. You can put it off. And you can put it off to your own sorrow. The gospel demands an answer from your heart. You will wail in that day with the rest of mankind. That's a teaching of the Word of God. This teaches us something else. When our Lord returns, there's going to be no universal conversion to Christ. It will not happen. If it were, they would lift up their voices and cry, "Welcome, welcome!" But they're going to wail because He's returning as judge. They shall see His glory, and they'll realize that they despise Him, for they despise the message of the gospel. Mercy stopped at the door, as we read in the first chapter of Proverbs, and rapped and said, "Let me in!" But they rejected the wisdom of God. They put Him away in scorn. And now they can trifle with Him no longer. There are multitudes who trifle with the message of the gospel and with a person of God's dear Son. And we want to return now to Revelation 6. We want to look at the return of the Lord as He's outlined in the sixth seal. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, where we read, "And I beheld when He had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake." Now, San Francisco earthquake was great in my book. The one in Iran was greater, but how great is one when God calls it great? There's a great earthquake. "And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also who pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Friends, three things quickly. Number one, today's the day of grace. Today's the day of salvation. Number two, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Number three, today it's the love of the Lamb of God. We would say to you, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. The cross of Calvary is a great magnet. It draws. Are you the right metal? Will you come? Come to Christ. He is a great attraction. Today it's the love of the Lamb. Tomorrow, when He comes, it will be His wrath. Receive His love today. Let's sing together hymn number 252. 252 will sing the first stanza only. "It may be at morn when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world His own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen." Oh, if you're here without Christ, I was speaking on the return of the Lord 2 weeks ago in Raleigh. A woman of about 50 years of age left the building after the meeting, she got as far as the parking lot, under deep conviction of sin, and she returned. She said, I need to get saved. I want the Lord, I want the salvation of God. Oh, if you're here without Him, you need the salvation of God. I'd love to sit with you with an open Bible. Let's stand and sing that first stanza over.